continuation of last Sunday evening. We just have a little more than half a dozen copies left. We're just going to read Bible stories this evening and making the final point of the lesson on the rod of God. So you're catching the conclusion pretty much this evening, or the application. Kind of interesting attending the Fourth Sunday singing this afternoon over 32nd Street, especially after the lesson this morning when I talked about praising God, and different congregations praise differently, and especially some are more vocal than others, and after that lesson this morning, then going over to 32nd Street and just hearing the vocals. Sometimes it just kind of brought a smile to my face. And, sometimes the song viewer would just announce the number, he'd get an amen. Number 935. Amen. Well, I don't even know what 935 is, but they would amen the number. Or someone. Brother, I thought I had a smile with Brother Whitley, too. He's sitting up front, and then the man was leading the prayer. Kind of like the illustration I gave this morning about Brother Leggett. But Brother Whitley did that too. They were, you might say, you'll bless so and so, and Brother Whitley would say amen, something like that. Or another phrase used, one I used this morning too, was he said, "Please, Lord, please," when there was a request being made in the prayer. So just in the kind of the circle around him, he wasn't for the whole auditorium, but it was just kind of interesting. All right, so the rod of God, conclusion, just in review rather rapidly. God calls Moses from the burning bush and said, "I want you to go back to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go." Moses makes four excuses. First thing he says, "Who am I?" And sometimes we get that way too when we're asked to do a task. Next thing he said, "Well, what shall I say to them?" I don't know what to say. Third one, he said, "Oh, they're going to say you didn't appear to me." And then the last one, he said, "Well, you know, I'm just not eloquent. I just don't think I can say that." But God convinces Moses through signs and wonders that, and telling Moses, "I'll be with you all the way. I'll even be with your mouth." So Moses goes back, and the opening phrase was in Exodus 4, verse 20. Moses took his wife and his sons, set them on a beast, returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So then the rest of it, we talked about that rod of God, and the God is just asking you and me, what's that in your hand? What's in your hand? And right now, many of us know. We know what our talents are. We know even the opportunities that are placed before us, and God just wants us in his service. We just need to identify what's in our hand and use it. 2 Corinthians 8:12, if there's a willing mind, it's accepted according to that which a man has and not according to what he has not. So God only expects us to use what we have, and we're not held into account of what somebody else has in their hand. Just use what you have. Moses took that rod of God. He used it, and if you've seen your notes, and we read all of these stories, he used it to usher in the plagues. He used the rod of God, stretched it out over the Red Sea. He used the rod of God to bring forth water in the wilderness by striking the rock. It was taken into battle against Amalek. And then the one time he used it on his own, he was penalized, and God said, "You're not going to go into the promised land." So now we come to our lesson for this evening. Every once in a while I like to try to preach a different delivery style, and so this evening I'm just going to read some Bible stories to you and give you some comments, and under that heading, what is in your hand is the lesson. So let's take the first one about Samson. Samson's story is in Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15. I'm just going to read 5 verses, beginning of verse 14. Judges 15, beginning of verse 14. And it came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. And then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, referred to Samson. And the ropes that were on his arms became like wax that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand. Interesting point of the story. So he throws that which he had in his hand to kill 1,000 and throws it down. He called that place Ramoth Lehi. Then he became, in verse 18, he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord and said, "You've given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant," meaning me, "and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" So God split the hollow place that is in Lehi. Another translation says that he took Samson back to where the jawbone was. But he split the place that is in Lehi, and water came out. And he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore he called its name Enhancor, which is in Lehi to this day. He judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. So here in this story, Samson takes the jawbone of an animal, kills 1,000 Philistines, delivers Israel, throws the jawbone away. The next day he's thirsty and he says, "God, are you going to let me die?" In verse 19, King James has it this way: God takes him back to where that jawbone was, that which he had in his hand, and it says, "God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw," that jawbone, "and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived." So the lesson: there may be some here that need to retrace their steps. In other words, pick up that which you cast aside. That which you've had in your hand that you've used successfully in the past. And now it may have been laid dormant. You're just not using the talent that you've used in the past. And so we want to put your talent back into God's service and be revived, just as Samuel did. And Samuel was. We had in our Bible class lesson this morning the story of Ephesus. In the Revelation letter, the letter to Ephesus. And in verse 5, remember that if you were in the Bible class lesson, the verse, "Remember from whence thou art fallen." Remember and repent and do first works. So in our lesson this morning, I took you back, similar to husbands and wives that might have a falling out. And one of the first things that marriage counselor is going to do, even before he asks you or she asks you what's wrong, he's going to go back and say, "How did you meet? What was it like in the beginning? What brought you two together?" So take you back to those beginning times. And that's even in the story of Samson. Samson, you use that jawbone, threw it away, but God takes you back and gives you a drink. Same thing, Ephesus. You've been complimented, but you left your first love. Repent and go back and do first work. Remember how exciting and enthusiastic Christianity was for you at the beginning. Now revive that if it's not in your life now. The second story is just one verse. In Judges, another one of the judges besides Samson. In Judges 3, verse 31, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel." The lesson again: whatever's in your hand, talent, ability, you need to just simply see the greatness of simple obedience. Whether you're using the rod of God in your hand, or a jawbone, or an ox goad. You know, if I were lining up and getting talents from God, and he asked you, would I just pretend? And he would say, "Brian, what would you like? I don't think ox goad would be on my list. Give me an ox goad." No. But whatever, what's in your hand? number three is David. His story's in 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. A little bit longer reading, but you're so familiar with the story. But here it is. 1 Samuel 17, that's going to begin at verse 28. That's where all the brothers are already out with the Israelites and the Philistines are on the other side of the valley. And David is sent by his dad to go join his brothers with a task. So now in verse 28, Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. He said, "Why have you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" Eliab said to David, "I know your pride, the insolence of your heart. You've just come down to see the battle." David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" So then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul. Saul sent for David. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're a youth. He's a man of war from his youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after and struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it." Wow. So, somebody said, "Oh, David, you can't do this." David said, "Oh, you don't know what I used to do. You know what I did." Verse 36. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of God." So moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." So Saul clothed David with his own armor, put a bronze helmet on his head, clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened Saul's sword to his armor, tried to walk, but he had not tested them. In other words, he hadn't proved them. So David said to Saul, "I can't go with these, for I've not tested them." So David took them off. You see, you use what you have in your hand. Saul says, "Oh, you need what I use. You need my armor, my sword." David said, "No, I haven't proved myself with them. You have, Saul. You killed your thousands. But I can't use those." So what does David take? Things that he's familiar with. So then in verse 40, then he took his staff, meaning David. David took his staff in his hand, chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came, began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. Goliath and his armor bearer. Verse 42. Philistine looked about, saw David, disdained him. You've had someone do that when you think, "Oh, I think can I do this task?" "Nah, you can't." Somebody else says, "Oh, you can't do it." David said, "Yes, I can. Yes, I can." Then God told David, you're only a youth, ruddy, good looking. Oh, yeah. That's a handicap. So Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. This day," David said, "this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I'll strike you, take your head from you. And this day I will give the the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So Goliath says, David, you know what I'm going to do to you? David says, you know what I'm going to do to you? Right back at you. Verse 47, the story's almost ending. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with a sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was, when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Man, I'm rushing right in there. I'm going head first. You know, I'm in a hurry to get to the task. David, you're young. You're youth. What's in your hand? What do you have? Well, verse 49. Then David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Little rhyme to it. So the story of David, again, what do you have in your hand? David, yeah, Saul wanted to give David what Saul had in his hand. David said, no. David took what he had. Same thing with you and me. Take what we have. The next story is the story of Gideon. All Gideon had was 300 men. He had a pitcher, a trumpet, and lamps to fight against the host of the Midianites.
Wow.
Judges 7, verse 2 says, the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, or your hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. So here God says, Gideon, I want you to go fight the Midianites. But you have too many people. Oh. No, God. I need all the people I have. I need the 32,000 that are with me. With 32,000, we can do this. God sent in verse 3 of Judges chapter 7, 22,000 home. Out of 32, 22 went home merely because they were afraid. So now only 10,000 remain. I think, 10,000. But God said there's still too many. So God sends 9,700 more home. Oh my. Wait a minute, I started out with 32,000. And now all I have left is 300. You want me to go into the battle with 300? And with a pitcher, a trumpet, and a lamp? So verse 7, says, the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. Wow. Judges 7, here's the story. This part of it, just five verses. Look at verse 16. So then he, meaning Gideon, divided the 300 men into three companies, put a trumpet into every man's hand, a trumpet, with an empty pitcher, pour water, an empty pitcher, and torches inside the pitcher. He said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch. And when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. He's the leader. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp. They had the camp surrounded with 300, all spaced out. And then you will say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So there's your battle cry. So Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. They blew the trumpets, broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They They held the torches in the left hand and trumpets in their right hand for blowing. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And every man stood in his place all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. So they were fighting themselves in the dark. The men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh and pursued the Midianites. What do you have in your hand? Think you can win a battle with a pitcher, a trumpet, and a torch? That's the lesson tonight. It's the conclusion of the rod of God that Moses had in his hand. What do you have in your hand? The last one. It's three verses. The widow's mite. Jesus sat opposite the treasury. This is in Mark chapter 12, beginning of verse 41. Mark 12, beginning of verse 41. Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrant. So he called his disciples over to himself, and he said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. Wow. Come on, guys, disciples, gather around. I'm going to show you someone who has put in more than all of the others. And he points out, and they might even be over there saying, oh, is it the man over here? This is the wealthy man over here. Did he put in more than everybody else? Look at something. This one over here. Now, Jesus points out a widow. A poor widow. It says, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So Jesus, just as he watched them put in the treasury, watches us to see what we have in our hands. There's one song in our book that one. This sums up everything we said last Sunday night and tonight. It says, take my life and let it be. The fourth stanza is, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Story of the widow. Okay? All right. Sing with me.
Take my life and let it be.
My hands and legs.
reason I just chose because it had that phrase, not a mite will I withhold. So, again, the lesson on the rod of God, that which is in your hand, and use it for God's service. All right, always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, exhortation. If you're here this evening, and I remember the New Testament church, we always say, you know, you need to hear the word of God, believe it, repent, confess your faith, as Josephine did this morning, and then you'll be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. Why is brethren for strength of prayers, or just a request, brethren, help me. We certainly honor that also. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected for us. If you need to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside.